In this video, we are beginning Romans chapter 11. We're going to work through the first 10 verses. I want to read Joshua 21, verse 45 to begin. It says, "Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass." And now Paul asks this question. "I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? So if everything that we have learned from chapters 9 through 10 is true, which it is, then does this mean God has rejected his chosen nation and not kept his word? Or does it mean that God cannot accomplish his purpose, his purposes, and that they are at the disposal of his unwilling creations?" And of course, we know these things are not true. So we must consider this question, rejected. What is this word, rejected? It's not a denial of application, but a pushing away of something already close. So has God pushed Israel away from him? May it never be. And again, we hear Paul's strongest negation used repeatedly in the letter of Romans, no, a million times over. So he gives a few examples. First, he starts off with a personal example. He talks about himself. "I, too, am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He is not some imposter. He is a child of Abraham and from a favored and respected tribe. And he has come to salvation in Christ." Secondly, we have a historical example. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. "Or do you not know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life." Elijah had reached a moment of despair, feeling as though he was the only worshiper of God left. But what is the divine response to him? What did God say? "I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal." So God has kept it. It was God's preservation. He kept for himself 7,000 men to worship him. He preserved them from idol worship. He brought them to himself. Thus they persevere because God preserves. And thirdly, he gives a current answer as well. Verse 5, "In the same way, then, there has also come to be, at the present time, a remnant." So just as in Elijah's time, amidst the nation rejecting God as a whole, God still had a people. And now it is not just Paul, but a remnant even at this present time. There's persecution. The Messiah is crucified and rejected. And yet there is a remnant according to God's gracious choice. "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." So we're reminded of Paul's overarching argument here. He's arguing for salvation by God's grace alone, apart from the law, apart from self-righteousness, apart from genealogy. Paul has used theology, logic, history, and the present to prove that salvation is by, and by necessity, by grace alone. The logical conclusion then is, if it is by grace alone, then any thought that salvation is in and of oneself and their works, grace would not be grace. Grace is the giving of something which is not deserved. So if salvation is in any way earned, then it is not by grace. Salvation is completely and utterly by grace given from the Lord. Verse 7, "What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened." So, of course, we see in Romans 10, 9, that Israel is pursuing a law of righteousness, and they did not arrive at that law. They were zealous, but not in accordance with knowledge. They did not receive God's righteousness through Christ. And now he notes references to the Old Testament. Verse 8, "Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day." That's found in Deuteronomy 29 and 30. Then we see in 30 a promise in verse 6 that God will turn their hearts to him in the future. And verse 9 says, "And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not and bend their necks, bend their backs forever." So he gives this very vivid illustration of these individuals crouched forward, leaning and feeling, stumbling in the darkness, having their backs bent. And so there is this quote from Psalm 69, a messianic psalm speaking of zeal for God's house being forsaken, given vinegar to drink. Obviously, it's pointing forward to the Messiah. And David spoke forth judgment on enemies of God's anointed. And of course, Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. And Israel was rejecting the very final and supreme anointed one, Jesus Christ. And this was their judgment. What is this table? Well, I believe it's this, that what they look to for sustenance and salvation, the law, it is the very thing now which causes them to stumble and reject Jesus, and the thing which makes clear their sin, their judgment. Their eyes were darkened, and they continue to stumble about as though they were blind with bent backs. But Jeremiah 31 says this, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And so God's promises are not made void. God has not forsaken His people. God has not rejected His people. Not one of the good promises which the Lord made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass, and these future promises will still come to pass, as we'll see later on in Romans chapter 11.